You're in the zone.
Food here?
Yeah, we'll keep asking questions.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Jason.
With Jason Anderson.
I was just curious.
I'm sorry, the food's here.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We'll head out to Des Moines here momentarily in the zone. Joshua Briscoe, Beards McFly with you. Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 tweeting out a video here. Interim head coach Norm Roberts is the first to walk in with the rest of the Jayhawks. No sign of Bill Self. Again, per Harold Kuntz there. So we will keep an eye on that, but it certainly looks like Norm Roberts will likely be the one speaking at the table here. Following DeJuan Harris and Jalen Wilson, we'll bring you that live here just as soon as they sit down there at the table. Meanwhile, in the NFL world, Ian Rappaport reports that Bills safety Jordan Poyer is expected to sign back with the Buffalo Bills. He checked out the market, but returns to hashtag Bills Mafia. So a little bit of a surprise there because he did hit the market, and teams like Buffalo, Philadelphia, and Cincinnati, Beards and I were talking about this before the show today, really all three of those teams have seen a lot of changes. The Eagles releasing Darius Slay today, but signing James Bradbury to a three-year deal. That one's kind of funny to me just because of the place where James Bradbury was last offseason. Like, he, as an older player who certainly had a great year and justified that one-year deal, but now you give him more guaranteed money for the future. It's interesting to watch the league navigate free agency while the Chiefs do it in a pretty specific way, where the Chiefs just are not giving out multi-year deals to guys over the age of, I don't know what the actual cutoff is, but I'd say 26 or 27 for the most part. You'll see that line move a tiny bit, but clearly the MO for the Chiefs is to only give money to guys who are largely young and reliable at this point, who have consistently been on the field. And that's true for Joe Tooney. It's true for Juwan Taylor. It's been true for Charles Aminihu, although he hasn't been asked to play as much as those other guys who I just mentioned. But that was also the obvious big signing of the night last night. The Chiefs adding their first outside defensive signing. They signed Tershawn Wharton back to a one-year, $2 million deal 2 days ago, right? Sunday evening or Monday evening, I think, if that times out correctly. But the news today, Charles Aminihu is the newest pass rusher for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk more about that with Ryan Tracy coming up at 1 o'clock. Juwan Taylor, Charles Aminihu, Tershawn Wharton, and also Michael Burton leaving Kansas City for the Denver Broncos. I saw the details of that deal. It was about $1 million. I think it was mostly guaranteed, and be interesting to keep an eye on what the Chiefs do with another fullback, or maybe they finally move past that. But Michael Burton goes from Andy Reid to Sean Payton, but stays in the AFC West. Meanwhile, there is a lot going on right now, smoke-wise, around the Broncos wide receivers. Jeff Howe of The Athletic tweeted, first, Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy's name has continued to come up in trade conversations per source, but Denver's price has remained high. Sounds like they're assessing his value before proceeding. And then he quote tweeted himself there to say, Jerry Jeudy has been a hot name this week. The Broncos asking price on Jeudy has been at least a first-round pick per sources. Seth Kaiser makes the point here that, you know, it's tough to gauge the value, but it is 2 years of cost-controlled play still for Jerry Jeudy, and I like Jeudy. I think if he had a quarterback with a functioning arm, he'd be a really nice member of any functional offense, which makes me kind of surprised that the Broncos appear so willing to move on from him. But a first-rounder to me is probably not a cost I'm willing to pay. Not because he's not worth it or because I'm super confident that the Chiefs will get a better receiver at 31. I wouldn't bet on that, but the contract and then eventual need for another contract and maybe an immediate need for another contract, depending on how long Jeudy really wants to play out his current deal, it's tough. There was a clip that I cut yesterday that I thought we might play today. I don't necessarily want to throw us into it right now because I think we were supposed to start hearing from KU a little bit ago, and I expect to see them sit down shortly. But regardless, a continuous theme for the Chiefs rebuild, even going back to the Brett Veach, Patrick Mahomes parade rebuilding year clip that we just eliminated from our bracket of sound. part of the reason that the Chiefs have been able to rebuild, retool all of that as much as they have, as efficiently as they have, is because they're not trying to pay a huge, huge number of gap filler guys. They've been able to do that largely with draft picks and then rookie contracts, and that really is a huge advantage. So seeing them continue to do that would certainly be beneficial in my mind, but also Jerry Jeudy would be a lot of fun. Dwan Harris Jr. and Jalen Wilson have sat down at the table in Des Moines. We go there live right now to hear from two members of the Kansas Jayhawks.
Athlete Gary Bedore, KC Star. Jalen, Coach Blakeney of Howard said he worked with you at the Combine and really loves your game. Do you remember working with him, and what do you remember about that? And I have a follow-up.
Yeah, for sure. That was the one good thing about the Combine. I was able to work with a lot of different people and coaches and, you know, well-respected man. You know, I appreciate everything that we was able to encounter at the Combine, and it was great.
How anxious are you to play a team outside the Big 12? I know you've been in the grind of the Big 12 forever, just playing somebody else.
Yeah, you know, the Big 12 is like, was the hardest conference in the country this year, with the best conference in the country. So really, I'm happy to get to play someone different, get to see something new. So we just got to be ready to play.
You have a question on the right side? Okay, we go up to the front row here on the left side, behind the aisle.
Hey guys, Scott Reese, KCTV5, and I'll have a follow-up as well. Jalen, I know you guys have talked about the pressure to repeat, but I'm just wondering, you know, if you guys appreciate how difficult it is, not only to repeat, but to lose 70% of your production from last year and to do what you guys have done and be in that position again.
Yeah, you know, it's a blessing to be back here as a number one seed. And, you know, I don't think anyone really is looking at it as, you know, us repeat. I think it's just us going to win it again as far as this is for something for us. And, you know, to do that, it's going to take us winning two games at a time each weekend and understanding every game is going to be a battle no matter who we're playing. And just appreciate the moment that we're in. You know, it doesn't come too often that you're number one seed. So it's great to be in this position again and have the opportunity right in front of us to go do it.
How does the experience that you guys went through last year, how does that sort of raise the bar for your expectations and you knowing what that feels like to cut down the nets?
You know, last year we was an older team, so we had a lot of vets, so it was much easier. So we was more together than we was this year because, you know, we was vets and stuff. But this year, you know, Jay Will, he's one of the best players in the country. He's leading us, so we just falling behind him. You know, it's going to be his last year here, so we just want to try to do our best for him.
Going back right side, Eric Olson, Associated Press.
Thanks, Mike. I don't have to identify myself now. Jalen, wanted to ask you about Coach Self. I guess how's he looking here since he's come back to rejoin the team after his procedure?
Oh, he's looking great, feeling great. We were able to talk to him today at practice, and you know, he's excited. We're all excited, and it's great to have him back on the court with us, for him able to coach us, and, you know, start off tomorrow with a bang.
Question on the left side.
Hi, guys. David Lawrence, Jayhawk Radio. Juan, their point guard, Elijah Hawkins, 47% shooter from the three, all-conference player. Just talk about that challenge of taking on such a good three-point shooter.
I know he does a lot for his team. You know, he gets in the lane, he shoots it. You know, I think their whole team shoots a lot of threes. I think they got like three or four guys that shot over 100 threes. So I think tomorrow we got to guard the three-point line and just be ready to come out and play with a lot of energy.
Other questions for our student athletes here? Front row.
Nick Springer, Rock Chalk Sports Talk. I just wonder, after winning the title last year, do you guys feel more or less pressure coming into the tournament this year? How do you think that run last year helps you coming into this year?
I don't feel any pressure at all. You know, that's the beauty of this tournament is that it's really just one game, a lot of one-game tournaments. This is win or go home. And I just embrace having fun. You know, this is the best time of the year for basketball. Even when I was a kid watching, this is the best time of the year. Just to experience everything, see all the basketball. Because I'm not only getting to play, but able to watch a lot of good basketball. So I don't feel any pressure at all. You know, I think we're just here to do what we know how to do, play our basketball and have fun.
Yeah, basically what Jay Will said, just coming in to play our best basketball, staying together, stay locked in, you know, having coaches back and then you got to keep winning. We got to win, and then hopefully we can make another great run.
Front row on the aisle.
Yeah, hey guys. I'm just wondering, with Coach Self still not quite ready, obviously, to do media here, and you know, certainly from our vantage point, the uncertainty. I'm just wondering, what's it been like for you guys the last couple of weeks? I know how important he is to you, how much you know important he is to the program. What's it been like for you with sort of the uncertainty of Coach's role as we head into this tournament?
Oh, we know Coach's role. He'll be coaching. You know, he's doing everything that he's been doing. He was down for a while for the Big 12 tournament, but he's back. He's energized and excited, you know, and ready to get this going again. And, you know, we're super excited to have him back. So we know we'll have him.
Time for one more question here on the left side.
Good.
And then we'll take your question up front row, and that'll be it.
Guys, probably 2 weeks ago, I mean, we were on a 7-game run of wins. A couple losses to Texas, and now a lot of people are picking us to get upset early in the tournament. Does that provide an extra edge that there are some doubters out there? Just from both of you.
Doubters is always a part of this tournament. I remember last year going to the Final Four, they gave us the worst percentage, or at least to win it all, and we ended up winning. So, you know, all those people who make percentages are people who are not on the court with us. You know, we control what we can control, and you know, and how hard we play and how together we are. And, you know, we could care less about what someone thinks that we're going to do. You know, upsets happen every single year, so I'm not saying it can't happen to anyone. But, you know, we're confident what we can do, and we don't really look to percentages and what people have us, you know.
Yeah, we don't really think about no doubters. You know, we see a lot of stuff, but, you know, we just play our game and stay true to what we are. You know, Kansas, you know, we get a lot of hate sometimes, so, you know, people going to try to be on the downside of us. So, but we just got to stay together and stay to who we are.
Final question in the front row.
Maddie Hartley, University Daily, Kansan. Jalen, knowing this is your last run in the tournament, are you just kind of taking it all in?
For sure. I've been having fun with it all year. And to be at this point, you know, number one seed in a great position and the best time to play basketball is exciting. And, you know, I just want to embrace it all game by game and just, you know, soak it all in. So it's going to be fun.
Thank you, guys. Best of luck.
Thank you.
There you have it. DeJuan Harris and Jalen Wilson live from Des Moines here on your home for the Jayhawks, Sports Radio 810 WHB Kansas City. March Madness on 810 is brought to you by Xfinity, Blue Chew, CBD American Shaman, First Federal Bank, JPA Roofing, and Barstool Sportsbook inside Hollywood Casino. We are expected to hear from Norm Roberts next, but lots and lots of good news there from Harris and Wilson about Bill Self's status. To be honest, it sounds like he's doing everything but media right now, just from what it sounded like they were putting out there. That he talked to them today. I don't think we've seen him in Des Moines yet to this point, but they also sounded very, very confident that he will be out there, presumably on the sidelines tomorrow. So we'll see if Norm Roberts has any more info on that. But he just saw the nameplate get put down in front of where his chair will be on the video feed. So we will be waiting on that here, presumably in just a little bit. He's approaching the table right now. So here's Kansas interim head coach Norm Roberts.
Defending national champs. We'll play Howard at 1 o'clock tomorrow. 27-7 record, Big 12 conference, the regular season champs. We've had the tournament here in Des Moines three times, and Kansas has been the top seed three times. So welcome back to Des Moines, Coach.
Well, we love coming here. Des Moines has been very good to us, and we know all the best places to eat. So it's been good.
This time we'll take questions. Please raise your hand. We have a microphone holder. Front row, left side.
Hey, Coach. Scott Reese, KCTV5. Two-part question. First, as a guy who's been around and doing this as long as you have, maybe just some perspective on how difficult it is to defend a national title.
Well, it is difficult, but you know, the tough thing is that when you're at Kansas, I shouldn't say the tough thing, the good thing is, when you're at Kansas, you're always getting everybody's best shot every single time you play. So it's just added on to us being national champions and those things. And we haven't really talked about that a ton. What we've talked about is staying in the moment and playing for now. This is a different team. What we accomplished last year was fantastic. We enjoy it. We're honored by it, but we also understand it's a whole new situation.
If you'll indulge me one more kind of big picture, how has it been so, I don't want to say seamless, but you lose 70% of your production from a national title team, and yet here you are, number one seed. That's not easy to do. How has this group been able to kind of pick up where you left off and make it look seamless?
Well, it's not seamless, but I would say, you know, our motto at our place is faces change, expectations don't. And our guys understand that. We know, and the one thing that we have is, you know, we have a great coach, and he utilizes his team in the best way, and he figures out a way that's going to be best for that particular group. We played a certain way last year that was very good for that team. And this year we had to tweak things and play a little bit differently, and Coach Self is never afraid to do anything like that, and our guys have really responded.
I'm going to stay on the left side. Go ahead.
Hey, Norm, David Lawrence, Jayhawk Radio. Just talk about finally getting out of the conference and playing someone else, and a rundown of Coach Blakeney's team. Obviously, they like to get out and run and shoot threes, and do they remind you of any conference team?
I don't know if they remind you of any conference team, but the one thing they are is they're very, very long. They're very long. They've got a lot of size on the perimeter, 6'9", settles, you know, so they're big. And we've had to deal with that all season. They have an unbelievable point guard in Hawkins who can really – he can shoot. He shoots 47% from the three, but he's an unbelievable quarterback, very similar to Juan. He gets the ball to the guys in the right position. Dockery is a tremendous shooter for them. Settles, you know, made second team all conference. Elijah, first team all conference. So you're playing against a champion. You're playing against a team that knows how to win. You're playing against a team that's older and battle tested. So we know we're going to get their best shot. And, you know, Coach Blakeney has done a great job with that program. And they're playing really well right now.
Front row.
Gary Bedard, KC Star. Coach, what's the condition of Coach Self, and do you expect he'll coach tomorrow, and how is he today? And I have a follow-up.
He's doing well today. He was at practice today. He was at practice last night in all of our meetings. He's doing well. He's getting better all the time. We're hopeful, and everything is day-to-day with him, but if you ask our guys, he got after him pretty good today, so he was doing really well.
And what about Grady Dick and Kevin McCullough's physical condition updates?
Oh, both guys practiced full speed today and had great bounce to them, so they're both doing well.
Stay on the left side on the aisle.
Nick Springer, Rock Chalk Sports Talk. Coach, how much do you think Big 12 conference play has helped prepare your team for making a deep tournament run this year?
Well, in the Big 12, you're going to play against all styles. You'll play against zone. You'll play against man. You'll play against physicality. You'll play against speed. You'll play against size. You know, so you're going to get the gamut of everything. So hopefully that has prepared us for the tournament. You know, it's one of those things that in our league, you know, it was a battle every single night, no matter where you were, home or away. And hopefully that will help us in the tournament.
Question in the back corner, and then we'll move up there. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Eric Olson with the Associated Press. I just wanted to follow up on Coach Self. It was his absence today from the media stuff. Is that just because he's just recuperating and tired, or could you just kind of talk about that?
Oh, he's getting his rest. He's getting his rest and that stuff. So maybe he thinks that I talk too much, so he's letting me talk more. So, but he's just back getting some rest right now. He's doing good, though.
I know I'm Will Kennedy with the Des Moines Register. Joseph obviously played in Des Moines for a little bit, played at Drake. I don't want you to speak for Coach Self, but when he entered the transfer portal, what did you guys as a staff see in him to make him want to come to Kansas?
Well, we saw explosiveness, scoring ability. You know, obviously that dunk he had was the big show of the NCAA tournament that year. And Joe has done good for us. He supplies a spark off the bench, both offensively and defensively.
Other questions? We have about 4 minutes left here. Left side, back row.
Dan Lucero, WIBW Topeka.
Obviously, last year you guys went into the NCAA tournament on the high of having won the Big 12 tournament, used that momentum to win the national championship. This year you come in having lost in the Big 12 championship game. How can you use that, the lessons from that defeat, as a positive and kind of spin that as a positive way to go into the tournament, having learned lessons from loss in that way?
Well, you can do a lot by learning from sometimes failure or a lack of success. And you know, we realized there were some things that we did in those games, or in that game particularly, that we need to get better at. And we didn't defend. We didn't play. We had really played well defensively the first two games. And the last game, we did not come out with that mindset. And if you don't come out with that mindset against a good team and a talented team as Texas is, you're going to put yourself behind the eight ball. And we did. And then as the game went on, I thought we got a little fatigued. And then we made some ill-advised mistakes at the end of the shot clock, and they took advantage of it. So give them a lot of credit with what they did. But we've already been able to watch film, look at that, and say, hey, this is where we got to get better.
Any other questions out there for Coach Roberts? In the back row?
Brendan Dorzynski, WIBW Topeka. You mentioned Kevin's feeling better going into this week. How important is it specifically on the defensive end to get him back as soon as possible?
It's huge. It's huge. Well, you're talking about one of the best defensive players in the country in Kevin McCullers. I mean, he can guard a point guard or he can guard a center. Doesn't matter. And the other thing that Kevin does for us is he does so many little things as far as offensive rebounding, defensive rebounding, and then he's an extremely good cutter in our offense. So we missed him quite a bit in that game, but we knew he would be out because you got to go for the long haul and that stuff. But he was back today, and he was doing really well.
Time for one more question out there. Anybody? Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Coach.
Thank
Best
you.
Of luck tomorrow.
Appreciate it.
Norm Roberts there, live from Des Moines here on Sports Radio 810 WHB Kansas City. The big, big news there is that Bill Self is apparently in Des Moines. Was there really turning it up a typical amount, it sounds like, for a usual KU practice, according to Norm Roberts? He still says day-to-day, if he will actually coach tomorrow or not, resting up. So Norm Roberts is doing the media right now. I'm not super confident that we're going to know anything set in stone until this show starts tomorrow, perhaps, when we'll be closer and closer to tip-off. I don't even know if we're going to know for sure what's going to be happening by the time we go off air, because it'll be an hour and a half before tip, I think, right? So a lot of moving parts, but it sounds like Bill Self is doing very well. Dewan Harris and Jalen Wilson both made it sound like he is just himself out there right now. And maybe Norm Roberts a little more hesitant to give the all clear because, you know, he's not a doctor and probably doesn't want to speak on Bill Self's health any more than he absolutely has to. But what he had to say there, it was good. So good news on the health of Bill Self, and sounds like he should be able to, if he's not on the sideline for the game, he's certainly involved in the preparation for it. That would be an interesting question to kind of drill down. What would even be more important? I don't know. And hopefully his health continues to just be at a good place where there's no more scares like there were shortly before the Big 12 tournament, and we'll keep an eye on that as well. Meanwhile, on Kevin McCullery, we heard questions about him. Michael Swain of 24/7 Sports tweets out, presumably he's in Des Moines. Presumably he's talking to Kevin McCullery somewhere in kind of a breakout. It says, Kevin McCullery said his back spasms have gone away completely. So a lot of good news there on the injury front. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers is monologuing on the Pat McAfee show and has already said this is not decision day, that already happened.
Sounds like Pat McAfee's actually sat down.
No way.
Yeah.
Really? Is he sitting? He never sits.
That's a rapper report.
He looks like he might be standing still. I have it open in another tab. From Ari Marov, Aaron Rodgers says he went into darkness. I'm sorry, I got to read the whole tweet altogether. That was funny, but I just... Aaron Rodgers says he went into darkness, quote, 90% retired and 10% playing. Once again, he has said that he's not really announcing anything right now, and that his decisions, I guess, have already been made. Albert Breer here with the quote. When I came out of the darkness, something changed. When I got back to that little shack where there's one bar of Wi-Fi, I realized there had been a little bit of a shift. I realized there was some shopping going on.
That's what I heard there. Just...
Steve Palazzolo of PFF says Aaron Rodgers says he went into darkness 90% retiring. Apparently the darkness suggested a trade. He got a haircut. When I checked in there briefly, he was going through a very long list about like how things had changed over the course of his time with the Packers. Albert Breer, Aaron Rodgers, comes out of the darkness and, quote, "It was clear to me at that point, although they were going to say the right thing publicly, they were ready to move on." Says he wishes they told him that at the beginning of the offseason. All right, Beards, I know I told you I was going to have to take a break right out of the KU pressers. Yeah. I just need to say this thing about Aaron Rodgers, okay? Here's the thing. I am really torn on him. And that makes me less in the camp of bleep this guy than I was like a year ago, because he has caused some problems on purpose. There are a lot of places where I don't have a whole bucket of understanding for him. And there are some spots where I understand that by being a weirdo in the NFL, he becomes kind of an outlier for things that I actually do empathize with. Like trying to get your spirit right and figure out what your mindset really is. And some of the like really introspective stuff. I really value introspection. I wish more people were more introspective more often. It's not always easy. Something I try to do. I think it's useful. But also, the idea that Aaron Rodgers is upset with the Packers because the Packers weren't clear enough with him early enough is just so unself-aware that it makes me wonder what he figured out in the darkness. I really empathize with this idea of like trying to find your enlightenment, like however that comes, and trying to really wrap your head around some of life's big questions. And I also understand that the sports world is not always a place that is willing to let you do that. I get it. And I don't even begrudge people for winning attention. Look at my job. It would be wild for me and most people in media, certainly in radio and that.
So this is from Ian Rappaport. Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee Show: "Since Friday, my intention was to play and play for the Jets." 5 hours later.
How? But we know. We knew that. They were signing Alan Lazard, and you want them to sign Mercedes? Do you think that Alan Lazard and Mercedes Lewis and Randall Cobb were going to be good targets for Zach Wilson?
Maybe.
The only team signing Randall Cobb right now is the one who's being held at gunpoint by Aaron Rodgers. This is the thing. It feels like a power trip, but it feels like a cyclonic thing.
As pointed out by Kent Swanson, friend of the show, dead to the show, I'm not, quote, "I'm not here to announce where I'm playing." Announces where he's playing. This is not decision. This is not announcement day, but I want to play for the Jets.
Here's a big
announcement.
I've
known since Friday. Rodgers also says the deal is not done, but it's a matter of getting it done by this point as the Jets and Packers work it out. That's another rap report.
But like everything leading up to this also was, it just felt like him putting all of it on the Packers. You know, the Packers made it clear they were ready to move on. I wish they would have told me that sooner.
They did when they drafted Jordan Love.
Right, 3 years ago. It might have been four. Are we on Jordan Love's fifth-year option yet? I think it was 3 years ago, right?
Let me log.
Look it up.
Let me log.
There is some...
Jordan Love, first-round pick, 2020 draft.
There is just some fundamental disconnect.
The New York Jets
in the philosophy
out,
of this guy
tweeted out the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Leo DiCaprio sitting in his chair pointing at the TV and tagged Pat McAfee in it.
The Jets Twitter account! Because they're finding this out.
This is the dumbest timeline. You mean we've been signing all these guys just randomly?
I would like an NFL future where we can have, like, curious and interesting and introspective superstars who have any sort of consistency in their ethos.
I can't wait for them to go 8-9 next year. And the first Sauce Gardner quote, when the offense lets them down again.
Oh, can you imagine? And part of me kind of wants it to work, and I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
I don't know why. Anyway, shocking everyone, Aaron Rodgers says he wants to play for the Jets.
Is that tampering?
We're in legal tampering now. Everything's illegal. At this point, we're not on video right now because one of our parts is broken. But if you could see me, like, my hat is falling off my head. I'm slouching in my chair. I have lost all my energy. Also, just a quick question. Just for anybody, if anyone would like to chime in. Is Aaron Rodgers good still? What was so funny, Beards?
This is a tweet from Pablo Torre.
Yeah.
I love that Aaron Rodgers, the biggest critic of Big Pharma in the professional sports, came out of the darkness and realized that he wants to work for the billionaire heir to the Johnson & Johnson pharmaceutical fortune.
I had that tweet open in another column and decided I wasn't going to be the one to read it.
I'll do it.
I'm glad that you were. Hey, the Chiefs go on the road and play the Jets this year.
One of them won't be there, don't worry. We haven't had that happen yet. It's still not gonna.
Oh, you're right. We might finally. Wow, what a good point, Beards. That might be the actual State Farm Bowl. Maybe we finally get Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers. You, Jordan, love to see it. All right, we're gonna go into a 4-minute darkness retreat. We'll be back with more Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Watching good teams lose with their poor quarterback play is kind of sad, except for whenever it's the Broncos, and then it's hilarious.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Breaking news at the bottom of the Sports Center, lower third. Aaron Rodgers says he intends to play for the Jets.
Green Bay Packer Aaron Rodgers says he wants to play somewhere else.
This is the thing. Can we call that a trade demand? I mean, because really,
well, he said, is that tampering?
Right. I don't. He is blaming the Packers for the breakup. And now he's saying, I would be interested in dating the Jets. But he is absolutely the order of operations here is they want to move on. And now so do I. That's a direct quote. And then also Tyler Dunn tweeting out.
And he didn't want to move on like 3 years ago when he first started this BS.
I like the idea of you using breaking news as no longer to just identify breaking news, but also as just an exclamation point on your jokes. Aaron Rodgers was also asked if he was excited to go back to Green Bay and play. He said, not really. I knew that wasn't going to happen, number one. So it's only they're in on Jordan Love. Drew McGarry of Defector now also wrote a great book about his traumatic brain injury. I know that's a totally wild left turn, but the book is called The Night the Lights Went Out. It's believe it or not, it's hilarious. But it's also a really good description of what it's like to have a chunk of time you don't remember at all. He had a much longer chunk of time than I did, but it's a really good book. Anyway, along the lines of what Beards has suggested, he said, that's great. Now trade him to Houston instead to bleep him.
I mean, I said during the break, just out of spite and vinegar, the Packers should just go, cool. Jordan Love's starting. You're not going anywhere, bud. It can be your intention all you want, but it ain't happening.
It's just bonkers, man. But, at that point, he would just retire, right? I mean, it's just...
Retire and then unretire in, like, a year and be like, by the way, I'm back. I'm going to the Jets now.
But the Packers would still have his rights.
How long is his contract left?
100 years.
Ugh. Do you want me to read this tweet that I...
Yes, sorry. Please do read your tweet, Beards.
This is from Ari Temkin. There we go. For more than 3 decades, the Packers had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and won 2 Super Bowls.
You clear your throat or get some water? Or, okay.
I'm good.
I don't know. It was an Ari tweet.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, Ari Temkin. Friend, Ari Temkin. Good take, Ari Temkin. Friend of the show, Myron Metcalf, tweeted, this segment might just be reading our friends' tweets about Aaron Rodgers, and I promise if you have any fun bone in your body, I think you'll join us. Myron Metcalf tweets, that man put himself in a rich people pretend jail only to emerge and say he wants to play for the Green Bay Packers of the East Coast, assuming you strip away the success and consistency and relevance and all that. Rich people pretend jail is the best way I have heard the darkness retreat described to this point.
From James Palmer, quote, Aaron Rodgers on his wish, on the wish list, quote, that's so ridiculous.
So his implication is that the Jets signed Alan Lazard and are interested in Randall Cobb just for no reason? Just totally randomly. Aaron Rodgers texted Adam Schefter, quote, lose my number, nice try, when Schefter got his number. See, I'm telling you, there's a little bit of Aaron Rodgers that I still like. That is the, can I, you know what? Let's finally, I need to tell you about this that I, this pre-free agency, Adam Schefter-based drinking game that I saw from, Danny Heifetz of the Ringer and Spotify now. And Danny tweeted this out, they may have done this in years past and added some, I'm not sure, but I just want to, I want to read you this game, and if you are playing it, maybe just, I don't know, I hope you're working from home or not working. So the Ringer, Adam Schefter drinking game. When Schefter mentions an agent, drink. Drink twice if that agent is Drew Rosenhaus. Huh. Drink when Schefter's tweet sounds AI generated, which might be my favorite. When he tweets a weird Photoshop. When he obviously copy and pasted. When he edited the tweet. Finish your drink if there's still a mistake. And drink when none of us have heard of the player Schefter tweeted about. I love this game, and everyone would have had alcohol poisoning with the number of agent, and this works for all the national guys. Schefter's just maybe the peak form of it. Not all the national inside, that's not totally fair, but a lot of them. The agent shout-outs this year have been absolutely out of control. And some of it's like below market deals, like the Jacoby Myers contract. I don't remember who his agent was. I'm going to assume it's Drew Rosenhaus, and if it's not, I don't really care. I don't really care at all. But it's always, per sources, the deal was negotiated by Drew Rosenhaus and some other guy. Like, what? Come on, man. We're smart enough to at least put that together. Who are the sources that also insisted that you credit them? Separately. Shocking. I do think there's at least one agent, though, who does deserve some extra praise this week. And it's Matt Ryan's agent. Did you see what Ian Rappaport tweeted about Matt Ryan's contract?
No.
He tweeted, as part of the Colts trade, the Colts are moving on from Matt Ryan. They're cutting Matt Ryan. He said, as part of the Colts trade to acquire quarterback Matt Ryan, his agent negotiated a new contract that included a $12 million guarantee in 2023 that was not in his previous contract. Ryan remains entitled to the $12 million regardless of what he decides to do this season. That's a good deal. It wasn't in his deal before he was traded, and he obviously wasn't in Indy for very long. It's not like he signed some long-term deal with a whole bunch of restructuring and new money or whatever. But in the updated contract, going from Atlanta to Indy, his agent got in a $12 million guarantee for this year, which he will still get despite not playing for the Colts and maybe not playing at all. It's kind of sometimes those guys who have like that higher ceiling, you don't always see the older guys who Matt Ryan won an MVP that year, right? And then obviously did not win a Super Bowl, but was a really good quarterback. Number 3 overall pick, a lot of success. I bet he gets talked about in like a fringe Hall of Fame conversation, and then I would say respectfully, like, he is a Hall of very, very good. At his peak, though, he was excellent. But you don't always see those guys like end up going to be a backup somewhere. I don't know that Matt Ryan wants to back up Patrick Mahomes. Chad Henne was never as good as Matt Ryan, right? I mean, that's, you know, your backup market is usually that kind of class of guy. You start for a few years maybe, but then you kind of figure out, oh, I'm just kind of like the 40th, 50th best quarterback in football, whatever it may be. Usually guys with higher ceilings don't fall into backup roles. If Matt Ryan wanted to come to Kansas City, that'd be wonderful. But regardless of what he does, there's $12 million in new money because of his trade to the Colts. That's good agent work. Per sources. The jersey swaps are out of control. Twitter is out of control. I keep seeing the phrase, rich people pretend jail. Roger Sherman of The Ringer just tweeted, insulted by the concept of emerging from the darkness and deciding to become a New York Jet. The Jets are the darkness, and I have been here my whole life. Anyway.
Aaron Rodgers and the New York media deserve each other.
That's true. I have one more report for you. I have some breaking news. This brings me no pleasure to report. Adam Schefter just had a great tweet.
I just saw that, yeah.
Confirming Aaron Rodgers' report, and it's a screenshot from an Aaron that says, lose my number, good try, though. I'm going to save that one to the meme folder right now. In the meantime, hey, you know what you could do? We'll come back. Maybe we talk a little March Madness. We'll do some football with Ryan Tracy of Locked On Chiefs, RGR Football, and anything across the board. He's got a great athletic matrix guide that comes out around the draft every year and all that. We'll talk to him about some of the Chiefs' recent moves, but we also need to continue to mention that, you know, March Madness like starts in earnest tomorrow. We've got the games tonight for the remainder of the first four. It's Texas A&M Corpus Christi beat Southeast Missouri State last night. Mississippi State lost to Pittsburgh last night. A late, not quite a buzzer beater, I think, but real close to that. A great, great final shot there by Pittsburgh to advance. And so that's a 16 advancing and an 11 advancing because those are where the first four games land. You've got two matchups of 11 seeds, two matchups of 16 seeds. Most people listening probably know that, but if you don't, no big deal, because you don't have to pick those games to join the 810WHB.com Bracket Challenge. You can go to that right now, and as long as you get your submissions in before the games tip off tomorrow, you will be good to go. You can go join in right now, compete against us here at 810, compete against your own friends and family. You can have your own mini pools inside of the larger one. Just join us over there at 810WHB.com. Click on the Bracket Challenge icon, and that's brought to you by Twin Peaks, Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, and Olathe Kia, Smoke and Fire. And Hy-Vee.
Very quickly before we go to break.
No rush.
I've got two tweets here.
Take your time.
One from Jay Morrison says, the Jets and their fan base are about to experience the most damning case of careful what you wish for in recorded history. Friend of the show, Matt Verderam, replied to that. Maybe even going back into unrecorded history. We can't be sure.
This is I said this yesterday and I stand by this today. It will definitely have moments of insufferability. There will be times when this is just impossible. But for the most part, if you're not a Jets fan or a Packers fan, this should at least be hilarious.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Dear God. If you can hear me, hi, it's me. If you can hear me right now, if you could do something to have the Chargers hire Jason Garrett as their head coach, I would really appreciate that. Because I just think we all need a laugh sometimes.
On Sports Radio 810, WHB.
Oh, when was that from? That might have been pre...
That might have been before Brandon Staley.
I mean, I think it was even probably even longer than that. That might have been pre-Anthony Lynn.
Well, wasn't Jason Garrett still the head coach then?
Oh, he may have still been a head coach at that point. That's fair. Everybody, give a big clap for Jason Garrett. Oh, my goodness. Now the headline on ESPN is Out of the Darkness, seasons all time.
Out of the darkness into the frying pan. What?
I don't think that's the phrase, Beards. Don't think that's right. If you just tuned in, Aaron Rodgers, that's it. Much more interestingly, there's a lot of Chiefs stuff that has been going on, and this show today has just been a whirlwind. We've got your KU audio from Des Moines. It sounds like it was Norm Roberts at the table today at the microphone, so Bill Self not doing any media today, but both Norm Roberts and Jalen Wilson and Dewan Harris all mentioned that Bill Self was at practice and seemed like himself at practice. Roberts said that it's a day-to-day thing for when Self might return to the sidelines, but if he's at full intensity at practice, maybe he'll be out there full intensity for the game starting tomorrow. They're not going to ever say anything like this, but if he wanted to skip the 1-16 game, no disrespect to Howard, but it's a 1-16 game, Norm Roberts has done this. Both early and late in the year. This is okay. Kansas will be all right in this one. But then the 8-9 matchup, Arkansas and Illinois, most likely Arkansas. We've talked plenty about how dangerous that Arkansas team might be. You want to have your whole squad together. Your players, your coaches, everybody. Especially your head coach who's been here before, who's done this before. At this level. Obviously, winning it all just last year. It'll be really, really interesting to see how that unfolds. And obviously, the most important thing is Bill Self making sure his health's all right. But it seems like with him being in Des Moines, as just context clues from them, and being at full speed in practice, so far so good on the health of Bill Self. We'll shift back to football to actually talk about the Chiefs and their moves with Ryan Tracy coming up next here in The Zone.